Next on BYUSN, it's official. BYU signed Southern Illinois guard Kennard Davis. How he helps the Cougars, and will he be a starter? Carly Hansen of BYU Track and Field joins the program, tells us about setting the school record in the 1500 and qualifying for nationals.
Our Deep Blue today features thrower Ashton Reiner on her journey to becoming a champion. And we'll look at the latest NBA mock drafts. Could Yegor Demon be a top 10 pick later this month?
Into June we go. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Great to have you with us. It's Monday, June 2nd, 2025. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is from the NFL Films generation, Dave McCann.
Does that seem old? NFL Films were classic.
I love NFL Films. One time we took a trip out there, actually got to see the studios where they performed all the music it, which is iconic and everything. It was pretty cool.
Whenever they were on, you just stopped and you go, I don't know what the story's about, but I'm in.
It's compelling.
Old footage seems to do that, you know, especially if there's a good story. And this footage isn't the oldest, but we haven't seen it before, so it's pretty good. Trayson Borgay, the quarterback with BYU in that quarterback room. There he is. This is from 2018. Footage from a 7-on-7 tournament. He had two broken feet. He said he broke them while he was messing around in class. So there he is in a pair of boots, where you get the nickname Boots. It's right here. And here in 2025 with two healthy feet, he could be out there on August 30th. But, man, how about that? How about that look right there?
Two broken feet, got the glasses going on. He could sling it, man. Shout out to Casey Lundquist, who covers the BYU digital arm for Sports Illustrated. He's the one that put that out. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Crazy.
That
luckily,
might grow in significance.
Right?
That clip could grow in significance.
He should be healthy come August 30th, which is exciting. And, hey, I like what you pointed out in our pre-production meeting, which is things are getting pretty close in terms of football.
Here's the thing about June. It's the last stand on the calendar between life as we know it and football season. And there's just a few times when the calendar turns and we're on this show where we can go, hey, next month, the Big 12 meetings are going on. The players report to camp. College, high school, and pro. The NFL kicks off preseason next month. After further review, comes back next month.
That's the one that
it
people are
feels close
for.
When you can say, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's next month.
It's pretty good. And we have an NBA draft this month that we pay attention to a larger degree.
And it's going to help us get there. And the finals and the hockey and whatever. So, but this is June.
The hockey,
June is to
it
be
has
savored.
A name, Dave. Stanley Cup Final.
June is to be savored.
Yeah. And nice shirt, by the way. BYU, Texas? Are you breaking news here?
Some of the best fans in Cougar Nation live in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
These are the shirts they made when BYU went down and beat SMU for their tailgate and all that stuff.
That's cool.
And so they sent them up. And I went on my mission down there a few years ago to Texas. And anyway, what a great idea. I have a feeling these will show up in Lubbock when the Cougars go back down there.
I didn't know that BYU was establishing a branch in Dallas.
It's everywhere.
You thought BYU, Hawaii, Idaho, Jerusalem were cool. Just you wait. No, that'd be great.
How about that?
Not breaking news on that today. Perhaps we'll have other news today, but for now, let's talk about what we know. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
You're adding in depth. Robert Wright, AJ, and Richie. Those are your big three.
What's not to love here? A team is assembling that looks like it could be very well preseason top 10.
To have your lineups down, to know who's going to come through.
It's going to be big.
It's time for What's Trending. Over the weekend, BYU made it official, announcing Southern Illinois transfer guard Kennard Davis Jr. as an addition to the roster. So, Dave, what does he bring to the table? We've talked about him without naming him, but now we talk about
him
in
name.
We can
name him. We can show him, talk about him. He's 6'6 for a two guard. That's great size. He's a good defender. We know that from what he's done at Southern Illinois. But what jumps off the page to me is we saw what Richie Saunders did last year compared to the year before and becomes all Big 12. Well, here's a younger guy who the year before compared to last year, it's a Richie Saunders type season. Starts went up from 10 to 31, points from 4.2 to 16.3. And then, Jeremy, look at all the percentages up in every category. He wins the Most Improved Player Award in the Missouri Valley Conference, while Richie's over here winning the first team Big 12 conference honor. Both of them had spectacular seasons following learning seasons. And so this kid comes to town on the cusp of what he can do, not, hey, I want to see what I can do. I think that's a huge advantage.
It's big time. What did BYU sort of lack against Houston last year a little bit? A little bit of toughness, I would say, on the guard line. Holding on to the ball, the ability to just play through a lot of
fight
hands
for a
and
loose
slap.
Rebound
sure.
and win it.
All that, yes. Kennard Davis helps you with that. I'm told by some members of the staff they really like his toughness and his physicality, which is awesome. Like you mentioned, the size, 6'6 on the guard line. So from three, 7.6% better. 38% from three is really nice. 1.3 steals per game is great. The plus 12.1 points per game, tremendous. I'm not sure he's going to be asked to be a 15-point-a-game guy on this particular squad, but if he's a 9-and-5 guy, Dave, he rebounds, he defends well. I particularly like the quote from Kevin Young about him where he says he brings a very diverse skill set to our team. Combined with the size, he gives us a lot of optionality, which I didn't know was a word until right now, on both ends of the floor. Kennard is a very good defender who can guard multiple positions. How about this part? And he will be one of the best defenders in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Maybe the most impressive thing about Kennard, again, Kevin continues, is how much he's improved, as you mentioned. He will fit right into our player development program. We look forward to helping him take his game to the next level. He's a guy that has 2 years to play as well.
That's huge.
He'll be a key piece there. So in terms of size, you got Rob Wright. He's the smaller guy, the quick guy, 6'1". And then it's 6'5", Richie Saunders, 6'6", Kennard Davis. I would pencil him into the starting lineup, by the way.
For sure.
6'9", A.J. Dibonsa, and then 6'8", Kei Bikeda, who is more like a 6'10", 6'11", guy with his length and jumping ability. Span. That is probably your starting lineup. Probably. We'll see how things shape out, but this would be my bet as to who the starting lineup is for BYU, which is pretty awesome.
I agree with you, and they got to get through camp healthy and all that stuff, which they didn't do last year, and so it kind of took a little while for everything to come together. But when you look at these five, and we've talked about who's on the bench for support, this group's is capable of winning a lot of games, and they're capable of going toe-to-toe against the best teams in the Big 12.
Yes.
And when we say best teams in the Big 12, we think of Houston.
Houston is going to be
Texas Tech.
Houston will probably be the preseason number one in the country.
Should be, yeah.
And obviously the league. So talking about backups, you got Maruss from Idaho, Kozlowski coming in healthy after a hand injury, Boskovic, Hadim Mboup is an interesting piece. We're excited to see him. Xavion Staten, of course, Nate Pickens, Dawson Baker, Dominique Diamande. That is your lineup. Who is not playing? That's a lot of talent. There's some really good experience, good physicality. I don't think BYU is lacking in a lot of areas. I think this is a team that will be, as we've seen and we'll talk about in just a moment, it's going to be preseason top 10, maybe even top 5.
There's no question they're all in on making a run to the Final Four with this group. But as you look at the roster, as you just explained it, there's AJ and there's Richie. A couple guys will be their one and only years here or last years here. But the rest of this group is young. So this is a team for this year. It's also a team for next year and beyond. And so it's not just, hey, all the chips are going in here. Kevin Young and his group are building a team with some star power that's here for this year. But the rest of them are, when those guys leave, they're still going to be really good in the Big 12.
That's certainly the hope. Yeah. Everything to me is...
It's June hope. We're in June talking about it.
And because of the transfer portal, everything feels very year to year. You hope that you have continuity. You hope that you grow old together.
Yeah.
Those are principles of a bygone era. But you hope that after this next season, BYU has a great season and you go, hey, Rob Wright, Kennard Davis are back. We bring in, you support him with other pieces and so on. Hey, Brody Kozlowski had a great year. Is he in the starting lineup? In a year from now. That's certainly the hope.
Yeah, and the glue is Kevin Young.
Yeah.
The glue is Kevin Young. That's why these guys are coming, because they want to go to the NBA. That's how he's setting it up with he and his staff. And so I think there's a little more longevity of hope because of the staff.
Yes.
That others will come as well. They see AJ succeed here. That's where they want to come.
Yes.
And so I think that's why optimism is maybe a little longer term than just this season.
And I think this ship had passed, but I want to emphasize this. Shams Charania, the new Woj, the insider for the NBA for ESPN, just tweeted a moment ago, the Phoenix Suns have narrowed their head coaching search to Johnny Bryant, former Utah player, and assistant coach Jordan Ott. Phoenix wanted Kevin Young.
Yeah.
There were rumors of big-time money to him, tripling or quadrupling what he perhaps makes at BYU.
Tripling, I think.
The fact that BYU retains Kevin, props to Kevin, props to BYU for keeping this going, because this very easily could have been blown up after 1 year. But Kevin Young is the guy here. He's going to be here, and he wants to be here, and I can't wait to watch this team and this program grow. But there certainly was,
that's a sigh of relief.
Phoenix was, they wanted Kevin Young. Who doesn't want Kevin Young? What he did in 1 year, It's simply spectacular.
And credit to Brian Santiago, and the situation also probably had a hand in his new job, because he helped bring this group in, and he has to help keep this group here.
And he said out loud, one of our priorities is keeping Kevin Young.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That might be the best news of all.
It was good not to see his name in that tweet.
Let's take a look at the way too early polls. They shift every day, but they still shift in positive ways for this basketball team. Speaking of June expectations, here are some of them. Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, he's going, yeah, I got him number 3.
Woo!
Jeff Brazello, 6. Kevin Sweeney, all the way down to 9. I don't know where the field of 68 is, picking BYU 10th.
Might be field of 72 or 76, and we'll talk about that too.
But this is the running theme, really. This is uncharted waters. We've never sat in June ever with Gary Parrish of CBS Sports going, I think BYU's number 3 in my poll.
It's crazy. I expect BYU to be preseason top 10. I'm not quite sure. And relative to the AP poll specifically, which is kind of our Bible as far as it is translated correctly, if you will. Top 10, maybe top 5. We'll see. There will be expectations. There won't be a ton of games, Dave, where BYU will go in and be the underdog. There just won't. They're playing a super competitive non-conference schedule. But when you play Wisconsin in Salt Lake, BYU's going to be a favorite in that game, Dave. They might be a favorite against Clemson in Madison Square Garden. Villanova, they will be a favorite for sure in that game. There won't be a lot of non-conference games where BYU's the dog. And then you go into league, and there'll be a handful where BYU is on the road. But not a ton.
I love the Villanova game because, one, it's the first one on opening night on TNT or TBS.
Don't bury the lead. It's in Vegas.
And it's in Vegas at T-Mobile. That's the one that says to the country, show me. I mean, Arizona plays in front of that game against Florida, I think it is. Well, everyone knows what they are. But BYU comes out, whether it's the first game or the second game of the doubleheader, and it's like, really, you're 3 or 4 or 10? Show me. And they have a chance on opening night to go, we're here.
Yep.
Then you can back it up in some of those other big games. But, man, November 3rd, right in the middle of football season, November 3rd is such a huge night for Cougar Nation.
I now wish that men's hoop season would just start the first week of December. Yeah. That way we could just fully take in football season, then go to basketball season. But little bowl, little hopefully college
football playoff stuff. It's like a lot of Thanksgiving feasts. It takes away from the feast when you're feasting all the time. But you know what?
All the feasts.
That's what this show's made for.
All the feasts. With the NBA draft just 23 days away now, here's the latest Yegor Demin mock draft mentions. NBADraft.net, 10 to the Rockets. CBS Sports, 10 to the Rockets. Sports Illustrated, 11 to Rip City, the Trailblazers. Fox Sports, 12 to the Bulls. Of note, Jonathan Givony of ESPN on the big board has him at 11. So my question to you is, could Yegor Demin be drafted in the top 10?
Whenever I want to know what Yegor's up to or the projections for Yegor, I don't go to any of these guys. I call Travis Hansen.
Yes.
And I say, Trav, what are you hearing? What do you think? And he has said all along, even when he was projected as, what, a late first rounder, that he thinks Yegor will be in the top 10.
Mm.
And did you notice how many people went back into college basketball this last week, withdrew, and they're going back? And I was sitting thinking, gee, how many people stayed in? You can't help but go up in this list. But so I think he's guarded right around 10-ish. That'd be great if he's in the top 10. Does it matter? We were talking with a lot of folks on this show. Does it really matter if you're where you're at in the first round over fit? But, hey, you want to be a first top 10 pick. It just sounds good.
Top 10 pick.
Street cred's great. I was a top 10 pick.
Yeah, top 10 pick would be sweet. I actually love 14 to the Spurs.
Yeah.
That would be my, if I could pick one. Obviously, Chris Paul is going to be the guy this year, but after that, kind of who's the next guy? Blake Wesley is kind of a backup that Yegor could compete with and play. 16, Orlando does need a point guard. Corey Joseph, Cole Anthony are there. Like, he could fit into that. I just don't want him to be on Orlando. I want him to be in the West where we're going to see him in Salt Lake a couple of times in person, selfishly.
Maybe the Jazz.
This is a national show, but
Jazz could get him. I think Kevin O'Connor, when he was on this show last week.
They'd have to trade to get him, Dave. They're not going to get him at 5 or 21.
Look, they got 50 picks. So use one of them.
Something like that.
But when Kevin O'Connor was on this show last week, he talked about he doesn't want to see him go to a team that has to have a shooter because he's still
as
working
a point
on
guard.
His shot. because that would be a, you know, because if it's not on fire right away, what does professional sports do faster than anybody? You're out next. So
don't want a Zach
needs
Wilson
to be in
thing.
A spot where he can grow. Yeah, yeah. You don't want a Jets experience.
Yes, Zach got thrown in the fire, not his fault. Like, did the best he could. That was a tough situation. Don't want that, particularly with kind of Nets, Wizards. Those two kind of stick out. Obviously, there's like Oklahoma City would be amazing at 15. They've got SGA and
they're in the
Cason
finals.
Wallace.
They got guys.
Like Cason Wallace, good backup. So I don't necessarily like that, but. The next couple of weeks are going to be interesting because in June, we don't pay attention to the NBA draft here. Now we do, and we will for a while, which is pretty awesome. So our question of the day is this. Could Yegor Demin be drafted in the top 10 in the NBA draft? Top 10 pick, of course, would be Jimmer Fredette from BYU in 2011. At Sammy J. on X. Absolutely he could. He has the talent and upside. It comes down to which teams feel like he's the missing link for them. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Thinking next winter on this show, we could have a who's tanking the most.
To get AJ?
Yeah, to get AJ. all winter long.
I know a team up north it might be.
Yeah. Okay, here's another topic. Expanding the big dance. That's been talked about a lot lately. It was certainly talked about at the Big 12 spring meetings with NCAA President Charlie Baker. He wants to do it. The question is it 72 or all the way up to 76 from the current 68? The buzz coming out of the Big 12 spring meetings that we read about was that the coaches are all for expanding. Where is Jerem Jordan on this issue?
I don't want it expanded at all. I think 68's weird. 64 to me is the sweet spot. I don't understand the first four need. I know BYU played in that a couple of times.
It's money. That's the need.
Well, it's, yeah. So talk to TNT and CBS. Talk to, you know, Viacom or whatever, whoever owns the bigger thing. They're the ones that are going to dictate whether this probably expands because if they're going to distribute more money, then the answer, will we make more money? Yes, then let's do it. That's typically the mantra there. I don't personally like it. I think it's great as is. I don't want to water it down even more. I love the ability for teams to create upsets. This year, the year of upsets is over. No, that was an anomaly to me that you had all four one seeds make the NCAA tournament. So I would say no. I would actually, if they said, oh, we're eliminating first four, I'd be like, great. I'm not really watching on Tuesday and Wednesday anyway.
More is more, right? Look what they've done with the NBA playoffs and hockey. They've expanded. Almost every team gets in. Now you know the teams that didn't.
About half.
Yeah. And does it take it away from stuff? Sure. Does it take away from the reward of the postseason? Absolutely. Does it give us stuff to watch? You bet. And even the bowl championship series and how that worked now with the college football playoff. And, well, what's it going to do to all these other bowls that aren't tied to that? I don't know, but we watched them anyway. Because they're on.
But
and
if
I
you
think
said
that's the now, market. The market is there.
Right. It just depends. There's a point of diminishing returns, though. Like, obviously, 72 or 76, you're adding 4 or 8. No one in college football is saying we need a 32-team tournament. Like, obviously, that would be terrible. Like, we don't actually want that. 16 feels like it's the sweet spot. If FCS does it effectively, why can't FBS?
Sure.
So you say yes? Do you have a preference on 72 or 76?
You know what?
96? 128.
Open it to everybody. Let's do the Indiana high school situation.
There's an Onion video where they expanded to 4,096, and it's like Dallas Roberts Hair School versus a construction company. Could get really interesting.
Is that on True TV? Is that where that one is?
I think BYU TV picked up a package there too.
You know, the first four doesn't really grip me until BYU was in it, and then it's a big game. So it's a big game for those eight and their schools and whatever. I grant it, money rules the roost here, so they're going to do it. So I don't have a big problem with it, especially now. You know, we're thinking BYU is a 2 or 3 seed. That the dynamic.
Not worried
changed.
About the first four. Yeah.
But there was a time when you're on the bubble and the first team out, and you're like, man, we just won 5 of our last 6 games. We're really, you know.
Yeah.
Then we're going to the NIT. Maybe there's room for more. Maybe there's room for a little
there's
more.
There's room in the
I'd
end.
I'd watch. We'll expand.
Watching the 216 seats play. I'm not.
But unless you got a family member on them, or you're going to play the winner, or it's you, right?
Those are very specific circumstances here.
Well, somebody's going to put up the cash for it, and so Yeah, we'll keep you posted, but it's going to happen, right? It just is.
And our opinions don't actually matter, but here we are.
Yeah, and we got a lot of them. Join us on Friday for BYU Sports Nation Special. We're going to recap the college basketball season for the Cougars, including that Sweet 16 run. We tip it off Friday at noon Eastern time right here on BYU TV and on BYU Radio.
Up next, the new all-time BYU record holder in the 1500. She qualified for Nationals, is in studio. Carly Hansen will be in the house after the break. On BYU TV and BYU Radio, I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Well, national championship thrower Ashton Reiner-Lunt battled injury and personal, mental, and emotional struggles to eventually become the champion her family always knew she could be. Now she takes those lessons she learned into the next chapter of her life. Here's The Deep Blue, the newest one with Ashton Reiner-Lunt.
I remember growing up, I was always the bigger child. I realized it in first grade because I was already bigger than my sister that was 2 years older than me.
Their other sisters were just built different, you know. They were built more like my wife and myself, and Ashton is built more like on her grandma's side.
People would say little comments like, oh, you're bigger than the other Reiner kids. I'm like, why would you say that to a girl, like a little girl?
I could see the beautiful girl that she was and is, and what she was going to become. And she just struggled in seeing it at that moment. I'm glad that her dad pushed her to see that she was built for strength and she's beautiful.
My dad came up to me when I was 8 years old and he goes, you're gonna be my superstar. You're gonna throw javelin and you're gonna throw javelin for BYU. And I looked at him all weird and I was like, whatever, Dad, I'm gonna be a sprinter like you. That's just what we do. And he goes, nope, you're gonna throw the javelin at BYU. And that was that.
Just because of her size and athleticism more than anything, I knew she'd be good at that. She was a state champ. She still holds the state record. And we knew with her throwing like that, that'd get her a scholarship.
My dad always saw the potential and the strength. And I just saw a fat little girl. People say, you're just saying that so you can. I just didn't see anything special, and my dad definitely did. I had the most amazing freshman year. I placed super high at Nationals. That was the year I was like, okay, I can be really good at this. And then worked super hard all of off season, got to my sophomore year of college. Very first throw, I tore my UCL in my arm. Very first throw. My world came crumbling down. Javelin was my escape from the real world. And I just remember calling my dad saying, it's over, I'm done.
I tried to calm her down, say, hey, you know, we'll get this surgery. And then I did a lot of studying up on Tommy John surgery and how successful they can come back from it. And, you know, just got her pumped back up and she had Tommy John. It was devastating that day, I'll tell you that.
My junior year, after I just came back from a torn UCL, I worked super hard, and then I got super sick. I went to someone that I thought I could really trust and just get my feelings out, and I said, hey, I'm not feeling good about myself. I feel ugly, I feel fat, and she says, Ashton, stop. You're literally perfect. Like, get over yourself. And I just stopped and I said, okay.
She would be hungry, like, and want to eat, but she wouldn't on purpose because she felt like every time she did, it would affect how she looked in some way or another. And so for her, I mean, a lot of times it was eating, you know, tiny little bits of things here and there throughout the day just to kind of get by. But really, like, she was struggling kind of in almost starving herself in a way just to try to fit a certain mold or a way that she thought that she needed to look at that time.
My husband, well, he was my fiance at the time, goes, maybe you should just track your calories. Like, let's see. And I was like, okay. And I started doing it. And by about like 5:30 at night, I was at 700 calories. At first it was like, whoa, that's a lot. And then my husband was like, do you know how many calories you burn a day? And I just didn't care. I was so depressed at the time that I was like, yeah, whatever. I remember just not thinking anything of it because I've had these thoughts before. Again, this was in the middle of the season and my throws started to decline. I got worse and worse and worse. And then I remember getting to regionals that year. And I remember standing on the runway like, Ashton, feel something, please. Like, just feel anything, feel sad, feel mad. And I just remember feeling completely numb, didn't care. I just wanted to go lay in bed and just not talk to anyone.
I absolutely loved the way that she looked at all moments that we've been together. And it didn't really matter what I said to her or what I, you know, did to show her that she looks beautiful. But in her mind, it was definitely a battle that she was facing every day between what she was being told. And it doesn't really matter sometimes what's coming in from outside voices. It's really just what's between, you know, her two eyes and what she's seeing.
People ask me, what was the turning point? Like, what clicked? And I remember my husband kind of sitting me down saying, we gotta change. Like, what can I do? And I was like, I never want to feel like that again. I never want to feel like a loser. I want to think highly of myself, and I want to think that other people are thinking highly of myself. And I remember that day, me and my husband made a meal plan. I didn't give a crap what that scale looked like.
It was definitely a battle that she had to fight every single day. Like, it wasn't something that ever came easy, and it wasn't something that she could really hold on to for a long time. It was a daily battle. Like, she had to wake up every day and try to, you know, battle her mind, knowing that it's gonna take what it's gonna take to be able to achieve that goal, and then being willing to sacrifice, you know, other things in order to achieve that.
I really wanted to be this skinny little fast girl, and I learned that I'm not all that. I have power. I have a different strength than being the skinny little fast girl. I'm powerful, I'm tall, I'm strong, I'm lengthy. And I found my own strengths that I didn't think were strengths at first.
2022, she started the season and she was back at 100%. She was great, she was moving forward, and things started clicking.
Then I remember stepping on that runway at regionals, and I was so confident in myself. I was like, this is nothing but a thing. My very first throw, I think I threw 57 meters or something like that. I was like, okay, I'm good. So again, I'm super confident, and then I go to nationals.
One thing that a lot of the girls there were saying is that they were so surprised by her because she literally wasn't even at the national tournament the year before. So most of these girls knew each other, and they were kind of like talking, and they're like, who's this new girl coming out of nowhere, who they haven't seen in several years because she hasn't really competed in, you know, 3 years. But it was cool to see her just, she was dialed in. She did everything the same way. She gets super jacked up and super energetic, just like she always does.
I stepped up on that runway and I had this sense of just, I'm ready. And I just remember feeling like this 20-pound weight just lifted off my shoulders, like, oh, it's over. I finally proved myself that I did this, and all these trials that I went through are worth something.
Nobody's ever gonna take that away from her. The most satisfying thing out of all is to watch her go through adversity. She's got to live out a great dream, you know, won a national championship. It's been very successful throughout her career here. And so, as a dad, couldn't be more proud.
My shoulder's gone, my hips are feeling it, my back's feeling it. So in the back of my mind, I knew that this was probably my last ride. And I remember just spinning this javelin in my hand and thinking of all the people I'm so grateful for who put so much time and effort of their own time into me. And this picture of me staring at these javelins was kind of staring at the last 10 years of all the hard work, all the preparation I did.
She definitely was just ready for the next chapter in life.
I've always wanted to be a mom. I didn't even think I could be a mom because of some things. I don't look the same. I do not look like a collegiate athlete. I don't have the time to look like a collegiate athlete, and that's okay. I have time to look like Jersey's mom, and that's okay with me. That's what I want to look like, is Jersey's mom. I look at Jersey and I'm just like, man, I really hope you never have to feel what I felt, and I hope you have more self-confidence than I did. Don't compare yourself to other people. You're perfect and you are a child of God.
tremendous story about life.
That was a real story.
It was awesome.
That was fantastic.
If you missed any of our interviews or episodes or Deep Blues, which are all fantastic, you can catch them all at BYUSN.com.
Coming up, headlines, Austin Ainge coming to a local NBA team, which is fun. Yegor Demin, the latest in the draft. And, of course, track and field crushing it. A bunch of people qualified for nationals. It's coming up after the break.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. We're everywhere, X, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok.
Not quite on Red Note in China. We're working on that.
We're
one,
working
though, I
on
think.
That.
Yeah. Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
We start with men's basketball and the signing, the official signing of Southern Illinois transfer Kennard Davis Jr. He averaged 16.3 points, 4.9 rebounds, and 2.6 assists last year in the Missouri Valley Conference. He joins BYU looking to make a major impact as a junior. We projected him in the first segment as a starter.
I think so. We're 23 days out from the NBA draft. Here's the latest on Yegor Demin. 10 to the Rockets from NBADraft.net and CBS Sports. Sports Illustrated says 11 to the Trailblazers. Fox Sports 12 to the Bulls. The draft is June 25th in Brooklyn.
You got him going to the
Spurs at 14.
Over the weekend, track and field competed in the NCAA West prelims. The women have 9 advancing to the national championships in 10 events. That's the most since 2004.
Nice.
Men's qualified for 6 events, including Olympic steeplechaser James Corrigan. He placed first in his heat with a time of 8:31.79. The outdoor national championships coming up June 11th through the 14th over in Eugene, Oregon.
Tracktown USA, man. Over the weekend, BYU track and field signee Tavon Kitchen broke the high school record in the state of Oregon in the 3K at time of 7:58.92. He beat his own previous state record of 8:01.56 on the anniversary, by the way, of Prefontaine's premature death. So that was notable in Oregon. It is the second fastest high school 3K of all time. Congratulations. We can't wait to see Tavon in blue.
It's better than yellow, whatever he's got.
I think that's orange, but we can agree to
either one. BYU's Trent Moser added to the U.S. Volleyball under 23 national team roster, set to play in the Norteca Pan American Cup. That's July 27th through August 4th in Guatemala City.
He went to Grand Canyon for a year. He's back. It feels like he never left.
Hope he took
like he
pictures.
Went on a mission to Arizona and
like
came back.
Like he went on a vacation took to pictures. The Grand Canyon and came back.
Yeah, but he's from Arizona, so he went up. More volleyball news. Freshman Suli Davis begins training with the USA U19 national team, hoping to be one of the 12 athletes to make the roster to compete in the World Championships in Croatia and Serbia. Best of luck to Suli. And former volleyball player Ronnie Jones-Perry, the pride of Copper Hills High School, made the first Volleyball Nations League roster for a trio of matches in Brazil. She played in Brazil professionally as well, so she can use that Portuguese a little.
Fantastic. Last Saturday, Daniel Schneeman and the Guardians beat the Angels 7-5. He had a hit, scored a run, currently hitting .233, 7 home runs, and 16 RBI on the season. And the Cubs are in first place here in early June.
I don't see that in the script. Zach Seljaas had a double-double with 12 points and 10 rebounds in the German Bundesliga for Würzburg in a 91-87 loss against Ratziofam Ulm. I know you love their jerseys. In game one of the semifinals in the BBL playoffs. Best of luck to Seljaas, who has that Kentucky mud flap going.
I can't tell if their jerseys are yellow or orange.
Well, Blaine can't see either of those either. So it's all good.
He is colorblind. On Saturday, we should get our own show. Oh, wait, we got this. 4-star 2025 BYU football signee McKay Madsen picked up 2 California State titles. He actually defended his titles from the year before in the shot put and the discus.
Nice.
Clovis North High School product. This kid is a special player. He'll be running the football at BYU after his mission to Argentina.
Do we think he might do that at BYU at all? Okay, remember when Jamal Williams in the spring just ran some
sprints?
He told
me he'd like to. And you know what? Yeah. He seems like he knows how to do
it. He seems pretty good at it. And last but not least, Shams Charania reports that the Utah Jazz have hired former Cougar guard Austin Ainge as president of basketball operations. Ainge the Younger spent the last 14 years with Boston in the front office, including 6 as the assistant general manager. Good to have Austin back in the Beehive State. Up next.
Feels like 2 Ainges are better than 1.
Right? Come on. Boys Like Girls, that was a good song. 2 is better than 1. Up next, the new all-time BYU record holder in the 1500 meter. First time around the program, she's going to nationals. Carly Hansen is in studio after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Look at that lead.
We gotta do this. Like, we can actually do this.
Cougars punching their tickets to Nationals.
This is exactly what people need to hear. They can be inspired to go out and get their dreams, and that it's not just feels like miles and miles away. It's really within the grasp.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann, the new record holder at BYU in the 1500. She's headed to Nationals, Trackdown USA. Carly Hansen's in studio. Carly, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's walk through your run. A new record, 407.64. Did you feel like, hey, in the middle of that race, hey, I'm about to set a record here, I'm going to qualify, everything's great?
Not at all, actually. I mean, to begin with, most races, at least in the 15, in my opinion, you have no idea how fast you're going, and especially championship races, the idea is just compete. You just race just to advance. Coach Taylor always says, like, survive in advance. That's what the end of the season kind of is. And I was kind of having that mindset going in, like, hey, like, you got to compete with the best of the best to get where you want to be. And if it is a school record, so be it, you know. So, yeah, was not expecting that, though.
What does it feel like to be among the best to ever do it here? I mean, there's been a lot of runners come through.
Yeah, definitely.
And what does that feel like?
It's inspiring. I was talking to Anna actually before I left, and we were just kind of going over
Anna Camp Bennett?
Yeah.
Whose record you broke?
Yep. Well, she just was kind of telling me that, like, you know, she's walking through when she won the national title and what that meant to her, and just to talk to her about that and the steps and realizing I am following every step that she is and I can aspire to do great things just as she did. So it's inspiring.
Tell us you sent her a text after you passed
her. She sent me a text.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way that's supposed to work.
Yeah, I know.
Someone texts you, right?
Sometimes you have to.
When you break it.
No, it goes both ways.
I say you broke Anna's record. You actually broke Riley's record. Because Riley Chamberlain broke the record 5 minutes before you, in the heat before you. Then you broke her record?
Yeah, it was. I mean, if she was in my race, there is no doubt in my mind she would have broken the record too. So it's just nice to always have that kind of just ambition. We train together, we run together, and I know if she was there, we would have been crossing together.
Does she get like a t-shirt that says school record holder and then 5 minutes?
I broke the school record for 5 minutes and all I got was this
t-shirt.
Yeah. So the school, what's bigger, the school record or qualifying for Nationals in the process?
I mean, after conference, the race even before conference, I crossed the line. I hadn't run a good time, but Coach Taylor was like, I thought the school record was going to go down. And I was like, oh, like, that's something I can, like, make a goal. Like, that's something I can aspire to do. So I think it was in the back of my head always this season that, like, you know, that's a benchmark I want to get to. But I'm going to be honest, like, I'm hungry. Like, Nationals is the goal, and doing well there and showing up and proving to the world like what I can do is kind of the end goal. School record's nice, but it's definitely not the end.
Well, you've had quite a journey. For a while there, you're wearing Carolina blue.
Which is the second best blue there is.
And that's right, with your history with the Tar Heels and Carolina. And now you're here, sitting here today. How do you describe this journey you've been on?
I would say it's surreal. You know, I believe that God will take me wherever I need to be. And I served 2 years there, and I don't regret it. I learned a lot. I grew a lot. And I came here, and I mean, we've been talking the last few weeks just about how blessed I feel to have perspective and, you know, and grow as a person. And I don't think I could have necessarily had that perspective just coming straight to BYU. Do I wish I had more years under Coach Taylor's belt? Yes. But, like, you realize, you look back on life, and it's more about who you're becoming rather than the times you're running. And it really did define, you know, who I am as a person, and two, how grateful I am to be now at BYU and excelling and being happy and married and just loving my life, you know?
Preach, Carly. Let's talk about your husband, Creed. Can you take me higher, Thompson, who also qualified in the 10K, I believe?
Yep.
What's it like for both of you to be able to go?
It's a dream come true. After winning that national title together and standing on that podium together, I was like, I can't top this. This is best day of my life. I told him if he hadn't proposed that he had to there, if that were to ever happen. Too bad we were already engaged.
Yeah, sometimes that gets in the way.
Yeah,
but that was a surreal moment right there. But
to then qualify for nationals in track, I'm not gonna lie, this is just adding on to the dreams come true, and to be showing up in Eugene. He sadly didn't get to watch my race. They were on a flight home, but he texted me and he was like, you did it, like you're going. And we both, neither of us have been to the national championship. So yeah. This is big for us. And it's really just a moment for us to count our blessings and just look back and be like, holy crap, that's us. Like, we're doing it. Like, awesome. The Thompsons, you know?
So how do you motivate each other? Where you send a text going, hey, there, I think you could have gone a little faster.
he holds me to a high standard. We go to bed at 8:45 every night.
Or super early. Yeah, you guys get up early? Are you running early in the morning?
No, you just want extra rest. But we just sleep like crazy. He holds me to a high standard on achieving great things. And
nice.
To achieve those great things, you got to gotta do the good things, you know. So
early to bed and early to rise
makes
a man or a woman healthy, wealthy, and wise, as the primary song goes. We're talking to Carly Hansen.
Glad you remember that. I'm impressed.
Right? Yeah, it was a good, it was a good hymn. Excited for the new hymn book, you know. Those hymns are great. Talk to us about what you're hoping to accomplish in Eugene, because obviously Hayward Field is iconic. $200 million from Phil Knight will do that. It's Oregon. It's the Nationals. It's, hey, I want to make a statement there. I'm going with my husband. BYU's highly ranked. What's this moment like coming up June 11th through the 14th?
Well, I mean, humility is the thing that comes into my mind, because after doing great at regionals, you never want to get an ego. So I'm going into it more humble than ever. But I also know, and you don't ever do anything by accident. You don't ever win a national title by accident. It's all according to plan. So I'm kind of going into this meet knowing that I could do something great. And that was always Coach Taylor's plan for me. And knowing that and believing in myself is all I need to then do what I need to do, you know?
Let's talk about Coach Taylor and the video that Track and Field posted of when you break the record and she comes over and you guys embrace, and there's this little barrier that's there for no reason. I'm like, just go around it, just hug it. You're over the barrier. What is this moment like for you?
I mean, for 2 seconds, I'm gonna be honest, my competitive side was like, oh, I looked back, I knew I was safe, I should have gone for the win, what was I doing?
In your heat.
In my heat.
Yes.
And then the second moment was like, wait a sec, I just made it. Like, I just did that. So it was a little overwhelming. I was having mixed emotions about, I mean, my racing instinct, but also to having Coach Taylor there the whole time cheering me on, knowing that she knew I could do this the whole time. And I embraced her, and she was trying to look at me, and I was like, I just want to hug you. Like, I just want to take in this moment. And it was special. It was meaningful. And I know, like, going into Eugene, that she's always there for me and always my right-hand man and all of this, and really for all of us, too, which is incredible.
Describe the mood in this program now. It's a championship program. It doesn't matter if it's cross-country, indoor or outdoor. This is a group at BYU that competes to win. What's the vibe inside the program?
Well, it's great. I've never seen more of a womanhood ever. I mean, it is unique coming from North Carolina, having another team to compare it to, but also just to compare it to the rest of the NCAA, there is no better vibe, I guess you could say, than I've ever seen. We were showing up before the race, just listening to music, dancing, having fun before the race, and I would say that my teammates are just incredible in the fact that we always uplift each other. We always tell each other we can do the great things. I mean, I didn't have an excellent indoor season. I mean, people look back and they're like, oh yeah, like greatness, yeah, of course it would come. You think it just is, they take it for granted, but indoor was not according to plan for me. And I could easily get down on myself, but they lifted me up and they held me to a higher standard. They said, you can do great things in outdoor. This doesn't define you, and you need to pick yourself up by, you know, your straps and just do it, you know. And they held me to that standard, and they always do. And we train with them every day, like we run together every day, like we have this bond. But more importantly, to have someone lift you up when things aren't going well is what is overlooked and arguably more important.
And isn't it great when they're right?
Yeah. They're always like, I told you so.
I'm See, like, oh. I knew you could do it. You're like, well, I had to run fast. But we publicly, we see a lot of kind of football and men's and women's basketball practices, so on and so forth. What people don't think about is how many times you are either by yourself or just with a couple of people running on that track. Walk me through, like you were talking about, the time spent, arduous stuff. And we just heard Ashton Ryan and Lance DeBlue, the realities of how difficult it can be as a person to compete at a high level like this, what you've overcome to get to this point and hopefully make another splash in Eugene.
Yeah, the thing that comes into my mind when you say that is just the importance of having fun. I know people say that all the time, but it really is critical because so many people break at this point in the season. Or just break from the pressure. And I used to battle those feelings and anxiety and those thoughts by thinking, just don't think that, right? Just replace that thought with just not negative. And I realized the absence of evil, the absence of stress, the absence of all those things is not just the absence of it. It's the good, and it's the excitement, and it's the sport, and it's the fun, you know? And I always, you know, every race I've since outdoor, I've told myself at least at one point in the race, I have to smile somewhere in the race. And I try to hold myself to that because if you can smile amidst adversity, struggle, you know, someone cutting you off or whatever, you're going to come out of it a winner. So
what's crazy is Coach Taylor could be sitting here instead of you would be getting the same answers, you know, the same
That's
perspective.
That's the messaging, right? Yeah.
That's great. What she preaches is now what you preach, isn't that?
For
that's
sure. Great,
what a
she resonates with all of us.
Yes,
I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Talk to me about the hair. Oh. Was it aerodynamic? Talk to me about the look here. I think we have a photo, but
yeah,
right here it's nice and straight, but in the meat, yeah, you got like 7 layers going on here.
I mean, it was humid there, and I
absolutely
was like,
College
I need
Station.
It slicked back. I need to have it in like every ponytail holder as possible. So I mean, that is, I would say that's my signature hairstyle. I've
Love
actually
it.
Done that a few times.
This
I've
is
mixed
the look.
It up, the look. I've mixed it up. I've done some braids. Taylor Lovell often does the hair in our team, so she'll braid my hair sometimes. But
inspired by NASA, so that everything just goes just right.
Yeah. NASCAR's been consulted. Just the aerodynamics, crazy. Well, congratulations on the school record, qualifying for nationals, and tell Creed he can sleep in one day too. You know,
I will.
Best of luck in Eugene. Thanks for coming
Thank
in, Carly.
You. Thank yeah, you.
We're proud of you.
It's awesome. Okay, coming up after the break, a rise and shout out to a Cougar footballer doing it in not one, but two sports. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation's on demand. Download the free BYU TV app or the BYU radio app and listen all the time. Our podcast is there, too. We invite you to subscribe, rate, and review.
I think this is one of the first times we've just done trending over there
Spend
and then just
here
hung
here
out
lounge.
Over here. Spencer calls it the Cougar Council Room.
Is that right?
I'm not sure what we're counseling about today. Let us counsel one with
show.
Another.
It's been fun.
Oh, it's been great. Track heavy, which is fun. Our question of the day, could Yegor Demin be drafted in the top 10 in the NBA draft? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, at Jod11BYUFan on Instagram. He definitely could, but I would rather him get drafted to the right fit, even if that is not a lottery pick.
Yeah.
I think the first round distinction is what kind of matters the most here. I know for him, as a Russian, he wants to be super high and kind of represent in that way. But guess what? He's going to represent no matter where he fits in.
And I think the big thing on the choice of to go or not is all based on how high you're going to be.
Right.
Once you make that choice and you're in and you're not
He's
coming
first
back
out. He's a
first-rounder
for sure.
Now it's like, where can I play? Where can I get in and make a difference?
He will make a difference on whatever team he's on. I can't wait to be talking about his games every game next year, what he did.
Fun.
Today's Rise and Shout-Up is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We're going to give it to McKay Madsen, outstanding kid out of the Fresno area. Coming to BYU, he's going to play running back in a couple of years, going on his mission to Argentina this summer. But he is the back-to-back champion in the discus and the shot put.
Hey!
In California. You know they have a few athletes over there in California?
Yes, they do. CIF titles are a big deal.
He is back-to-back, and he was up at the alumni game, a chance to meet his parents when I was with baseball in Fresno. This guy is going to be fun. This guy is BYU.
You're telling me the Madsen from not Fresno, but Bay Area that BYU didn't get in Mark Madsen? Another Madsen
this is
coming this time?
This is going to be that one.
Like 25 years
he's
going to
finish with more rushing yards.
Absolutely. We wish we could have got Mark back in the day.
We don't say he's the next Luke Staley. He's got those kind of
But
skills.
He kind of looks like Luke a little bit. He's got stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks to today's guest, Carly Hansen.
Well, she was great.
She's awesome. Best of luck to her.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand at BYUSN.com.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Gavin McGregor. Go Cougs!
If Dennis ran track, would he have more time?
More shot put.